None of the pews up front are broken. I'll just remind you of that. Next time, I'll get the portable pulpit, and I'll come out to you. Okay. When the pastor comes calling. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Let us hear God's word for us this evening, brothers and sisters. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please be seated. Now, those of you who may be a little unfamiliar, it might be strange to show up on a Sunday night and be singing Christmas songs. It's still November. You're like the lunatics who start playing Christmas music before Thanksgiving even starts. What's wrong with you people? Well, the season of Advent is 4 weeks prior to Christmas, where we seek to encourage every heart to prepare Him room, to consider what it means that our Savior came, and to consider the fact that He will come again, just as God kept His word in the first coming of our Lord. He will keep His word in the return of our Savior. And so our focus this year in this season is what we're calling Songs for Jesus. These handful of moments of prophetic utterance, of joy, of, in a sense, ecstasy as Christ is coming to earth. These songs that were not penned over the piano or guitar, but were given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to remember this historic occasion of Christ's birth. The setting of tonight's text is a little bit prior to this. It begins earlier in the first chapter of Luke when Zechariah, the father of John the Presbyterian, is doing his service in the temple, and an angel appears to him there and tells him that his wife will have a baby. He doesn't believe it. We're too old. And he is struck mute. And he communicates to people that the baby's name would be John. That's the background to this moment that we find of Elizabeth's song. And the first thing we find in tonight's text is Mary's obedience. Mary's obedience. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. The background to this being Mary having received the announcement that she would give birth to the Son of God. We find in verse 26, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So it's at this announcement that Mary is going to give birth to the Son of God, and that her older, barren cousin is with child, that she is determined to go spend time with her cousin. Now, we can often think of the word haste as hurried. Now, to get from Nazareth down to where Elizabeth was in the south end of Jerusalem would have taken a number of days, and Mary was probably already pregnant at this point. And so I don't want to say anything that'll get me in trouble, but she probably wasn't hurrying. It probably took her a while to get to Elizabeth. But this haste is speaking of the determined nature with which Mary traveled to see her cousin. This is a momentous event. And Mary, in her obedience to the Lord, in receiving this gift of conceiving the Son of God, is determined to go spend time with her older barren cousin. And what we see in this moment is Mary's obedience happening in the context of the fruitfulness of the gospel coming to earth. The end of Malachi, some of the last words that we hear before a period of 400 years that were silent in prophetic ministry, not in God working. God just didn't turn his back for 400 years. There was lots of providential activity going on in that intertestamental period. But right before that period of revelation ends, before the appearance of Christ and the announcement of his birth, we read in Malachi 4, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." Now, this text does a few things for us. One of the things it does is it lets us know that from the time of Christ, we are living in what Scripture calls the last days. Now, the last days didn't start in 1910. It didn't start in 1948. The last days started around 3 or 4 BC. Don't ask me how that works, but just trust me. I know math. You know I'm not good at math, but just trust me that's about the time that the last days, the days of the Lord, that great and awesome day. And Elijah the prophet, this is pointing forward to John the Baptist coming as that one who was assumed to be Elijah, who had been ushered up into the heavenlies, had returned. And so this great prophet is coming to announce this day. And Malachi tells us of all this interaction between one generation and the next, fathers and mothers and their children. And we see this in the very moment that these announcements are made. You have a father and a mother who had given up hope that they would ever conceive a son. Elizabeth was barren, and she knew she was barren because she was old and she had not had any kids, a very painful thing for a woman of any era, but particularly an era where your offspring were such a sign of God's blessing to you. We see the same with Mary and Joseph as the angel comes and visits the both of them. And Joseph determines to take on this situation, and Mary determines to be obedient. And there is this great fruitfulness that happens in the ground in which a seed had never been planted, and in the ground that plenty of seeds had been planted, but no fruit had ever sprung forth. The glory of the gospel in the bearing of these two babies. And Mary, in her obedience, determines to go delight in this moment with her older barren cousin. Two women who should not be pregnant, and yet find themselves pregnant with two of the most amazing characters in the history of the world. Secondly, we see John's response. We see John's response. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, lots of babies jump and twist and kick and breech and de-breech, whatever you call that. Lots of babies do lots of movement in lots of wombs, but very few give us the commentary of the Holy Spirit on why they did that. Elizabeth.